Now, we're going to look at another dimension of Christ the King, the one who has conquered our death and is prepared to bring us to eternal life. And so, this is another dimension of his care for us. Huh? So, it's from 1 Corinthians 15, verses 20 to 28, except that they skip 27. Wouldn't have taken that much longer to put it in. And it's precious because it's an allusion to a psalm. And I want to try to work on that because it's Psalm 8, and that's the same psalm that the letter to the Hebrews develops. And if I can find it, and I can't, well, we'll work on it. Okay. Now, but now, literally, because we're interrupting a discourse, you know, ninide, but now, Christ has been raised from the dead. Here's a little grammar. The perfect tense in Greek always refers to a past action whose reality perdures now. So he has been, so is English often, he has been raised from the dead. So he's here now, raised from the dead. You see? He is the first fruits of those who sleep. Paul hardly ever says about Christians that they die, because die means separation from life. I mean, death means separation from life. Even when we stop breathing, we're not separated from life. So we fall asleep, but we don't die. This is very, why? Because Christ is risen from the dead. That's why. And so, the text goes on then, you see. But now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Because since death came through a man, so, but the end, through a man, comes resurrection from the dead. Now, the come is not in the second part, but that's because of the nature of Greek. You don't need it. This is very mysterious. Somehow, scriptures teach us that there was a man and his wife, but it's the man, the head, who sins and rebels against God, and therefore loses that principle that held him together, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit kept his body from spreading out, following the eyes, the delight of the eyes, the ears, the delight of the ears, the stomach, the delight of the stomach, the body, the delight of sexuality, and so forth. You see, fall apart and die. The Holy Spirit, as the Orthodox would say, is the principle of our immortality. So it says, you see, but since death came through a man, they don't have, but it's okay, and through a man came resurrection from the dead. And then it goes on to say, for just as Adam, in Adam, all die, so also in Christ all are brought to life. You have to ponder this. This is the same as Romans 5, same notion. You see, that we're freed from death. We will die, but that's temporary. I am immortal by the mercy and the blood of Christ. That's how he shepherds me. I belong to him. He's won the right to have me belong to him and to take care of me. And he does. And that right he won on the cross. He died. He entered the realm of death, broke its back, and took everybody out of there. That's what we mean by that famous theme in Old English poetry, the harrowing of hell. Most people in a non-farming country don't know what harrowing means. But it means plowing it up, you know. And so, you see, now, you see, everybody in the proper order. Well, I mean, like, St. Francis is going to rank higher than I do because he's holier. He's more transformed into Christ. But we'll both be there and we'll enjoy one another and it'll be fun. Hey, Francesco. He came to see me once, so I'm going to say, oh, thanks for that. I remember that. But you see, but I mean, he's a big shot. Insofar as there are big shots. The difference is, I will be so happy for him. It couldn't happen to a nicer guy. That he'd be one of the greats ranking up there, so beautiful. And that he likes to talk to me. And I like to talk to him. You see? So, everyone in his tagma, everyone in his place, his rank. How do they translate that? Proper order. Well, that's all right. The order is holiness, transformation into God. If you want to read something great, pick up The Theology of the Body, look toward the back, where John Paul II is talking about that text in Luke, where the Sadducees posed this question to Jesus. The fellow got married, he died without children, his brother raised, you know, had to marry the woman. He did, all five married him, but none of them had children. Big conundrum. Jesus says, you don't get it. In heaven, there's no marriage. Don't you understand? It's a different world, you see? And so, that's what's preoccupying them, you see? So, now, it's a beautiful word they say now, you see? Let's see how they translate it. Christ, the first fruits. Arpi, aparchi, Christos. The first fruits, Christ. What are the first fruits? They're the earliest and best and most beautiful of the crop. And you take them and you offer them up to God. The first fruits. The best grain, the best apples, the best grapes, the best olives, the best... Here, God. Well, the best of the human race? Jesus Christ. So he's the first fruits. But that's a promise of everybody else. You know, that stands for everybody else. See what I'm trying to say? So he stands for all the rest of the human race that is joined to him. You see? So it goes on to say, and then, e tu Christu, those who are of Christ in his parousia, when he comes. Now, parousia comes from two words, be beside, but it's used for the coming of the emperor. The emperor is going to come to a town. It's the parousia, dies caesaros, huh? Tu caesaros. It's the appearance, the coming of the emperor. And now they take it and apply that word, the coming of Christ. When he comes, the emperor comes to assert his authority over this town or to visit the town. When Jesus comes, it's the whole universe that welcomes him. That's his parousia. And so, you see, Christ in his parousia. And then, the end. Ita to telos. Now this is so, you see, this is so definitive. This is the end of this way of creation existing. All those who belong to Christ will go with a transformed universe to be with God and to live and praise God forever. Because the universe is going to be transformed. And so you see, that is parousia. Then comes the telos, when he will hand over the kingdom to God, to the God and Father, literally. Father, here it is. Mars, Venus, the earth, all the human race, here. I've won it all for you. It's back where it belongs, under your authority, ready to be transformed by your light, by the power of my cross. That's the end. Isn't that optimistic? That's the end of history. That's the end of the world. That's the end of everyone who believes in Christ. They're joined, they're presented already to to God the Father. That's why that's a kingly gesture. Father, here are all those I've won for you. Billions. And so that's what it's saying, you see? And then it says, you see, when he has destroyed every sovereignty and authority and power, that's all the demonic spirits. They're finished. They go on existing, but in hell. That's that. No more can they touch us. We are in the kingdom. As it says in Ephesians, you know, we join the saints in light. Okay? And so, you see, for he must reign until he's put all enemies under his feet. Okay? And then the last enemy is death. Think about that. No more death. Death hangs over us even when we're not thinking about it. If the Lord had come and taught us how to behave well in this life, it would have been the most cruel. So we behave well and then we die. No. He says, you're going to be with me forever. And we, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we are going to even give our light to this material universe. And it too will last forever. Radiant, glorious, beautiful. For you. That's why he's Christ the King. You see? He's the victor. He won. You see? When everything is subjected to him, then the Son will also be subjected to the one who subjected everything to him, so that God may be all in all. Now, I somehow misplaced my notes on the letter to the Hebrews, so I'm just going to have to look at the text and wing it, because I don't remember now where I put them. But this is important stuff, you see. It's in chapter 2, the letter to the Hebrews, and he's using the same text, the very lines that our liturgical text skips, you see. He put all things under his feet, you see. So that it says, you see, everything is there, so that there's nothing left that's not subjected to his power. Well, the letter to the Hebrews puts it this way. Chapter 2, it's a beautiful text. I only have very little time, just enough to talk to you about it for a minute. You see, it says, what is man that you pay attention to him, or the Son of Man? You've made him brachiti for a little while, or by a little measure, less than the angels. You crowned him with glory and honor. You put all things under his feet. This is the poet looking at mankind, right? Now, do you see all things subjected to man? Of course you don't. It's raining and you have a party going on, an outdoor party. Stop it. Rain, stop. Is it going to stop? No way. You see? Now, if a man has faith, he faces the problems. So this text says, but we don't see everything subject to him. You see that? Take faith to think. Says, oh, that must be right. Oh, I'm sure God's correct. You know, of course he's correct. But now you have to figure out how and why. You see? Now we don't see, but we do see him who was made for a while a little less than the angels. We see Jesus. Do you see Jesus? You're supposed to see Jesus with the eyes of your faith, the eyes of your heart, and see him as the Lord, as the King. This is the feast of Christ the King. Faith that is willing to think a thing through is rewarded by understanding. No, we don't see the whole human race, but we do see our head, you see, already beautiful and in charge of everything, the head of the, and we will join him. Amen.